This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I'm the best decision your organization has ever made.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Would you like a massage?
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
When you got a chance to go 8-9 and all it will cost you is your wife and your kids.
They suck. Not so easy running a team, is it, Tom?
Earlier on the show, ESPN NBA analyst Brian Windhorst, Cardinals general manager Monty Ossenfort, coming up, actor Eric Bana, plus latest news and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. The Roastmaster General, Jeff Ross, is going to zoom in shortly. He texted about 15 minutes ago saying that he's awake and he's going to do it. I just had a nice chat with Eric Bana, the actor from many, many different films, Munich being one. Black Hawk Down.
It was amazing.
Spectacular. A lot of Trekkies know of Eric. His new film, Force of Nature, The Dry 2, is available in theaters and everywhere you rent movies on Friday, May the 10th. So that's this Friday. He's in our green room right now. Excited to have him out here. While we wait for Jeff to join us to talk about the Brady roast, is it possible that there was last night a confession?
I heard it.
During Tom Brady's retort. Yeah. Best part of the roast is when the roastee fires back.
Yeah.
That's the end of the night. And Brady, normally you roast everybody who's roasted you and anybody else on the dais who you want to give a piece to. He roasted Bills fans and Colts fans. right?
Brady said that he's trying to get into Raiders ownership because he's tired of owning just the Colts and Bills.
That's what he said, I think.
Yeah.
And then he had some smoke for Roger Goodell in the NFL, and he had this to say.
Remember Deflategate? The NFL spent $20 million and found that it was more probable than not that I was generally aware that someone may have deflated my footballs. You could have just given me the $20 million and I would just told you I f***ing did it.
Statue of limitations is off.
Now, again, I just finished hour number two saying a roast is this. It's all in good fun. It's all comedy. There are no rules in a roast. That's the whole idea of a roast.
I plead the fifth.
But there is a...
funny.
An old axiom that every joke that works is because there's a germ of truth in it.
Right, that he would take $20 million and say just about anything.
Yep. Is that what the joke was?
I mean, I'd kill JFK if you give me $20 million.
No, I don't think that's the same thing.
I think it's exactly,
at all.
It's exactly the same thing.
No.
That's okay.
Here's the thing. Let me just say this once and for all. Certainly for those who are wondering if Tom Brady did, in fact, have a confession during the middle of his retort last night. No. Personally, doesn't matter. Does not matter. We were on the air. I think it just started. Was Deflategate the first big thing when we came on the air in 2014?
No.
Was it the year after it?
It was our first Super Bowl. Remember, because we were going to Arizona.
So, and we were born in October of that football season. So it just... Yeah.
I remember our first Super Bowl guest.
With Mona Lisa Vito.
Yeah. Marissa Tomei.
Marissa Tomei was our first Super Bowl guest ever.
Bill name dropped her.
Yeah. Saying that he wasn't like, he wasn't. He's not the Mona Lisa Vito.
Bill basically threw Tom under the bus during that presser that no one really talked
about. Which is like, talk to Tom.
Yeah.
Because we in the media were all flipping out because it was on the heels of the Spygate. And so it's just like, here comes another one. And we're not going to let them destroy the evidence here. No, no. And I think the league then hired this Ted Wells guy and put out this insanely long report. They're very detailed. And one guy was called the deflator.
That cost over $20 million.
And the crazy thing that people just kind of don't remember is that the football that the Colts presented to the NFL wasn't just one that they grabbed from the sideline because they suspected there is a PSI situation. But it's because they intercepted it.
You know, at the goal
The ball
line.
In yeah. question was errantly thrown. And the deflation was supposed to be helpful for Tom, right?
That was the idea, the theory, the league theory.
So it doesn't matter. But you could have just given him the $20 million and I would have told you. And I would I did it. And he finished his retort by slamming a cell phone.
Yeah, he broke his
broke phone. His cell phone.
Yeah.
Which he was accused of destroying his cell phones right. instead of handing them off to the NFL.
Which no one in their right mind should have done or whatever to.
Yeah. So. There's that.
It was great.
Did you watch any of it, Mike?
No. You I was didn't? Working and then I was.
What were you working?
UFL. And then I got home and I was tired.
Oh, yeah?
Long. Yeah.
Okay.
Let me see. Like, you should check it out. Like Ron Burgundy saying.
I'll watch it when I get a second. Yeah,
Tom's officially Eli Manning's B. That was really funny. There were a lot of great moments, Mike. You would love it as a Giants fan.
Sure. Yes. Eli's response
Eli's
today?
Best. Hey, Eli, not there.
I think it's been liked close to 100,000 times.
Yeah, it's gone nuts today.
Yeah, I thought about attending the roast of Tom Brady last night, but I did not want to roast him for a third time.
I mean, Eli Payton, just
Manning Eli.
Randy Moss set was kind of just okay, but he did have a great one where he was like, you know, it was Spygate before I got there, and it was Deflategate after I left. How come he didn't trust me enough to cheat when I was here?
I know, right?
That was funny. A lot of ringless jokes about Randy Moss last night.
I mean, that's the what else are you going to...
You can't really
what are you
going to
roast Randy
exactly.
Moss on?
Now, Kevin Hart was all over his outfit. You know, he looked like the substitute teacher.
That was right.
Did Andrew Schultz call him Bagger Vance?
Oh, God.
Pretty good.
Bagger Vance.
I'd never seen Andrew Schultz perform. That was the first time I'd ever seen
him. He was just coming off of two sold-out MSGs.
At Madison Square Garden. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, he's had a good come up the last couple of years.
Bert and Tom Segura.
Yep.
They were good, too.
They were doing the thing.
What a night, man.
What a night. So fun.
844-204-RICH being the number to dial. Tonight is the first game between the Knicks and the Pacers.
Hey, feeling?
Oh, I'm psyched, man. This is gravy, as far as I'm concerned.
Gravy?
Gravy?
Yeah. What do you mean? You're the two seed.
Yeah.
What do you mean, gravy?
Gravy.
You're supposed to go to the conference finals.
I'm aware of that.
Okay.
So what does
okay.
that mean?
Okay. I don't know. I feel like you'd be nervous.
Why would I be nervous?
Pacers are good.
I know they are.
They play an up-tempo pace that I don't know if...
Starting
five can't play 48 every night.
What do you think? The Knicks can't win one in Indiana? I mean, the Bucks did without their two best players.
Yeah, well, where are they right now?
Huh? They're home.
Yeah, they're home. Yeah.
It's 30 years ago, right? This is like 30 years.
By the way, you know what the roast is done?
On the Knicks.
The roast and the Timberwolves winning and us talking about this and you finding out that you're taking on the Cavs, which has caused you to sweat 0.0% perspiration.
Oh, I was more afraid of Orlando, which is probably going to come back to bite me. But.
Okay, good enough.
Let TJ off the hook.
How about your boys now?
Oh,
your Clips. What happened to the Clips?
That was so long ago, I can't remember.
That was Friday night, sir. That's still part of our sports weekend revisiting
stuff?
On a Monday.
You know, it's all about the Larry O.B.
Yeah, you know, so much has happened since then, I just can't even remember, man. It just,
what do you want him to do?
I don't know. You know, my biggest problem right now, guys, is for me holding on. I gotta sit there and just ask myself why are you still here? Like, what are you doing? Like, am I going to live the rest of my days here in Los Angeles as a disgruntled Clippers fan?
Don't do
moving
it.
To an the best
no,
thing about move. This move is now my drive to a game gets cut from like 50 minutes to 16 minutes.
Well, coming out into be-
this guy talks and about only, the long slog to an arena only goes to three times a year.
No, he goes to a lot of
how many
games.
How many Clipper,
thing. You guys, how many you guys know what I want Clipper you to know. I don't tell you every time I leave the house. You guys act like I'll never leave the house. I do stuff. I just don't tell you when I do stuff. How many Clippers games did I go to this year?
Friends.
Probably like seven.
You go to, yeah.
I didn't go to that many this year. I got to be honest. I only went to about seven.
Yeah. But, I mean, run it back? I mean, it kind of seems like Ty Lue's sticking around.
I have no idea. I think you almost have to just implode this. Because
what's to implode?
The team.
What do you do?
Rich,
walk me through it.
If I had to answer that, I'd be sitting somewhere in El Segundo in another.
What do you sign and trade Paul George for Orlando or the Sixers?
The fact is, you gave up. We gave up what?
Gave
eight,
up
eight players so for Paul
I
George.
I mean, that trade looks one of the worst in NBA history.
A top
right now.
Three MVP guy in Gilgeous Alexander. I honestly, I sat there this week and thought, what do they do? Like Kawhi, for as much as I love Kawhi, for as much as Kawhi has accomplished in his career, when your body, you've put that much strain on your body, as he obviously has for, you know, two decades. Your body starts to break down. I mean, what can you do? You know, there's nothing. There's nothing you can do once the body starts to break down. And I fear he's at that point right now. So do you continue to go forward and build this team around him, knowing that he's probably not going to be there in clutch times? And again, I love Kawhi. I feel bad saying anything remotely negative, but it is what it is. And then Paul, that last game, bro, it's like you've got to do more than just step up. You've got to stand out.
I don't know what else to say.
Except, I don't know what to do.
Except it's... Is it fair to say par for the course? It's par for the course.
I mean...
It's par for the course.
You hate to say it, but the same
I hate to say it, but
true.
Again, like, in Indianapolis...
Expect disappointment.
In Indiana, he shot up like a rocket, right? And then... Goes to Oklahoma City.
Well, then he broke his leg.
Understood. I know that. I understand that. And we talk about PG being one of the best players on the planet, and he's remarkably great. I understand that. But when push comes to shove, I hate to say it. Like, the results speak. And Kawhi can't stay healthy when push comes to shove either. That's twice now in the playoffs that he got hurt. And I hope it's not as significant as the last time where it's going to cost a regular season to follow. Who the hell knows? Man, I'll tell you what. When they built that Intuit Dome and everything was straight, I mean, that's why they're all over Ty Lue. They're not going to let him walk and be the Lakers coach and in the spot that they're leaving as they open up their new one.
Exactly.
That's
the bottom line, Rich. Opening the new arena.
Big
they
time.
They can't let these guys go. You need star power. You need their names. But by re-signing and everything, you're on a path that you're not going to get off at this point. Like, Clippers are always going to be good. They're going to win some regular season games, make the playoff, disappoint. I'm so used to this after 22 years. It's almost like par for the course.
Just good enough to be the 4-5-6 seed in the West.
And then something will always inevitably happen.
That's unfortunate. It really is. Yeah. I just got to wonder, like, the Clippers making a lot of their moves because they got to open up their new dome with the pizzazz required to put fannies in the seats and have people excited. And the Lakers are going to, what moves are they going to make based on LeBron's endgame?
And then the Lakers, how much do you let LeBron dictate what you're going to do, knowing that if you get, I mean, he's 39. If you get 3 years out of him, it's going to be amazing. But whatever you do now is going to affect you probably for the next half a decade. So to 10 years. So what do you do?
Let him go and build around Anthony Davis.
That might be a choice that.
But they're not going to do it.
They're never
going to
do
it. Star power. They're never going to do it.
But also, it's not like LeBron is frayed.
No, definitely
he's
not
as good as ever.
But here's the thing, Rich. Now, I don't believe this is going to happen, but, you know, we sit and we always fantasy book things and we talk about what if this, like, what if LeBron takes his talents to Inglewood?
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Oh, yeah.
New arena. I'm not saying it's going to. I'm just, we always look for stories.
Doesn't have to
Could
move
you imagine
out of
that
town.
Story?
All right, look at you. Look at you just stirring it up. All right, so Jeff Ross is going to join us after Eric Banna. So let's bring Eric out.
Do it.
Eric is in the new IFC film Force of Nature, The Dry 2. He's coming out. Let's talk to Eric, and then the Toastmaster will take us home. Let's talk Game Time. Boy, do we love using Game Time tickets. at the Rich Eisen show, and every single time I've been watching the basketball playoffs on TV, I've been wondering what it would be like to be at these games. And when you choose your tickets on Game Time, you can see the view from your seat, where the court is, where you are in relation to it, and then the all-in prices. That's my favorite feature. The all-in prices makes sure that you see the lowest price guarantee and also know exactly how much everything costs all in before you purchase. So all the guesswork is removed when you buy playoff tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O-O-O, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, we're live on the Roku channel. Our radio audience will return shortly, so it's the first of two times. I welcome in our guest, the actor and star of the film Force of Nature, The Dry 2, one of our favorites from movies like Munich and also Black Hawk Down and Star Trek, for sure. Good to see you, Eric Bana. How are you, brother?
Rich, thanks for having me.
You got
Glad
it.
To be here.
That's really, that's an applause line. I totally agree.
Thank you.
Let's take a look at the clip of this film, which is technically a sequel to the 2021 hit The Dry, but it follows your central character around here. So you received a distress call from an informant, and then you get into action, essentially, here?
Yeah, it's five women who go on a team-building exercise on a corporate retreat in the bush, and they get lost. And one of them is my informant.
Ah, the film Force of Nature, The Dry 2, available in theaters and everywhere you rent movies. Again, this Friday, May 10th, right here on the Roku channel, back on the Rich Eisen Show radio network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by, as Eric Bana has here on the Rich Eisen Show. Force of Nature, The Dry 2, in theaters and everywhere you rent movies this coming Friday. Good to see you here on the program.
Great to be here, mate.
Right back at you. Tell everybody about this film and what you like about it and why you wanted to continue doing your character in this film.
Yeah, so it's a follow-up to a film that we did a few years ago called The Dry, which was a massive hit in Australia and travelled really well. It was based on a book by Jane Harper, which was a huge hit. And she writes great thriller whodunits.
Yes.
And this was a second book with my character, Aaron Falk, who's a federal police. And it's based on five women who go on a corporate retreat, and one of them is my informant, and they get lost in the bush. And when they get found, my informant is missing. So it's a great whodunit, and both films are set intrinsically in Australian landscape. The first film, The Dry, was in a rural Australian town.
Yes.
Force of Nature, we are in the midst of the rainforest in the middle of winter, which we shot for real last year, and had a wonderful time doing that with the leeches and everything else.
Ah.
It's a great depiction of real Australia for anyone who can't be bothered hopping on a plane and flying 16 hours.
Yes.
You could just check out both our films.
Okay.
To be completely honest.
Instead of actually the cost of a flight and the actual trip.
You don't have to leave your house.
I've never been. I cannot wait to go, truly, to Europe.
Well, this is what a lot of Americans say. And I say, what's so important that in the last 24 hours you couldn't have flown there?
That's how long it really is, right?
Well,
pretty much. It depends.
You know, in the last 24 hours, have you done something that's that important that you couldn't have flown to Australia? Be honest.
I went to a great roast of Tom Brady. I went to that, you know. I had dinner with my daughter, watched Kung Fu Panda with her. She's 10.
There you go.
How many kids do you have?
I've got two.
How old are they?
22 and 24.
All right, so you're in a different time with your fatherhood right now.
I am. I noticed you've got the best dad ever.
Yes, and you also commented on the height of my chair in relation to the to the guest chair. Is it really that high?
I saw someone else had brought it up, and I just wanted to see it firsthand. I wanted to experience it.
Is it really that high? Is it really that high?
It's the height and the distance. It's like a mathematical combination.
Okay,
Rich. And the there is a mathematical format.
I was
here
told
involved.
There would be no math in this interview, Eric. I was told that. Listen, I'm excited that you're here because a couple of films that you've done, I'd love to go down that memory lane with you. Black Hawk Down. What preparation did you do for that film?
Was Eric? Quite a lot. I mean, look, that's the best part of my job is I didn't go to university. I finished high school and I didn't know what I wanted to do and. So for me, the movie business has been amazing because every time I get an amazing role, I get to throw myself into the shoes of somebody else and do a bunch of research. And that was really jumping off the deep end. And myself and a few of the other guys got to go and train with some special forces guys at Fort Bragg, which was amazing. Most of the cast did ranger training and the others, we went off and did some special forces stuff. And then we work with those guys all the way through the production. So we just never stop learning all the way through the physical production in Rabat, Morocco. It was one of the most overwhelming, visceral filming experiences possible. And it's kind of ingrained in me to this day, that experience. It really, really kind of changed my life in some ways.
How so?
I don't know. It was just, I think I love going into the head of my characters. And I think spending so much time in the mindset of a Delta Force operator just kind of like did something fundamental to the way that I approach things, and I've had that with a bunch of other characters as well. Like they kind of live in your brain and express themselves in different ways. But there was something about the rigor and the discipline of what's involved in that job that just really, really appealed to me.
So you did some training for it, essentially.
Yeah, we did some. I mean, obviously, we try and do a as convincing job as we can, but I was just in awe of, absolute awe of them. They were just the most incredible people to work with.
Yeah, so you went to Fort Bragg.
Yeah.
Okay. And then in Morocco is where you guys shot it.
Yeah, we shot Morocco and we had US military working with us the whole way through that film.
How old were you when you did that, huh? I mean, was it the beginning of your career, correct?
It was my first American film. I'm trying to remember. My son was, I think, 18 months old in the hotel room, and he's now 24. So he's like, 22 years ago. Wow.
Yeah, right.
It's an incredible cast when you go through the IMDb on that film. It's just like the most incredible roll call of actors.
Yeah, and I do remember just being, when you said visceral, it certainly was a visceral watching experience in the theater.
Yeah, it was like that to make it as well, definitely.
So how did you get into acting? How did that happen?
By accident. I was a stand-up in Australia. That's how I got into the business.
Comedy.
Yeah.
That's right.
I went stand-up, sketch comedy. And then when I was doing sketch comedy, there were a lot of straight actors who were on our show. It was a show similar to Saturday Night Live. And I got to watch them work, and I'm like, I don't think there's a whole lot of difference between doing sketch comedy and drama. I think they're having us on. I think there's some kind of a ruse going on here.
Yeah.
You know? These actors are getting really well paid and us comedians are kind of not really getting our just rewards.
Right.
So I started throwing my hat in the drama ring and then I got lucky early with a couple of roles and then I just didn't look back. I was like, I'm going to go for it.
Well, I know folks from Australia know you as originally a sketch comic, but I think a lot of fans here in the United States are like, really?
So I haven't got a clue.
You had a Saturday Night Live type experience is what you're saying.
Yeah. I was on a show very similar to Saturday Night Live called Full Frontal for about 4 or 5 years, then had my own show for a couple of years and then was just started out in stand-up and did stand-up all the way through the sketch comedy career and was still doing stand-up when I started acting actually for quite a while. And then eventually I was like, I just got lazy I'm like, I'm going to go this way now, where they write material for me, and I just get to go and say their lines.
It's definitely, for the lack of a better phrase, easier. My goodness gracious. Yeah, I did stand up in college for 4 years, right. Eric, and it was toughest thing I've ever had to do. Nothing comes close, you know.
Yeah.
Eric Banner here on The Rich Eisen Show. How'd you wind up on Spielberg's radar screen for Munich? How did that happen?
I don't know how I ended up on his radar.
Okay.
But I got invited to go and meet with Steven mm-hmm. about a secret project. No one knew what it was about. No one knew what he was developing.
It was secret.
It was secret.
Okay.
And I sat down and we started talking, and he started talking about Munich in 1977. And just by complete coincidence, I had read the book Vengeance, on which the story was based.
No way.
Like, talk about a three-pointer.
Right.
Like, seriously. Uh-huh. And so I was like, yeah, I know this story. I know the background. I remember it as a kid. I remember some of the footage. And
yes.
And then at the end of that conversation, he says, yeah, so I really want you to play the role of Avner. And I was like, what planet am I on here? What's going on? Like,
right.
Is this conversation really occurring?
Yeah.
Did he just say what I thought he said? So that's how that went. And next thing I knew, I was in Malta and bombs were going off and we were on.
You were in it. What is it like being directed by Steven Spielberg?
It was just the best. It was, you know, I love my sport, and I think both Black Hawk Down and Munich are the two films that most made me feel like I was part of a sporting team
mm-hmm.
because the camera is never still in that film, and the relationship that he has with Janusz Kaminski, the cinematographer, which is unbelievable. And we shot on film back in those days. The focus pull is right by the camera, watching mm-hmm. your every move, and it's very dynamic, and there's a million moves going on. And every take felt like live theater. It felt like something dangerous was happening. It felt like everyone had to be completely on it for it to work.
Yes.
So it was the most kind of dynamic, exciting, dangerous kind of film to make from a filmmaking perspective in that sense.
I imagine him giving a note, you know, like you could hear a pin drop, I imagine, right? Or,
yeah.
is it just a different feeling on a set with somebody like him?
He was very relaxed. It was so easy to work with. And I was, just pinching myself every day. It was one of the most incredible experiences to work on that film.
And what an important story to get right, too.
No pressure.
None at all.
No pressure. I felt no pressure at all, Rich.
But at least you read the source material, which is pretty cool, you know, you going into it. And so where in terms of rabid fans, where do Trekkies rank for you, Eric?
Trekkies. I'm not sure if they've still figured out whether it's actually me in that film.
They don't know, huh? So you can just walk into any old, you know, Comic-Con or anything like that, and they have no idea that you're that guy from Star Trek, my goodness.
It was quite the makeup job. It was worth 3 or 4 hours.
That's how long it was?
Yeah. It was so much fun. It was such a great film to work
Did
on.
Did you grow up watching Star Trek or no?
Yeah, the TV show.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, most definitely.
That's my Star Trek. I think we're the same age. I'm 54.
I'm 55.
Okay, there you got me. It's okay. But you look younger than me, and you got great hair. I grew up watching all the Star Treks on
TV.
Yes,
it was incredible. But yeah, I'm not sure that every Trekkie when they meet me is like made that link. Sometimes they do, but sometimes they don't.
That's pretty cool. Eric Banner here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay, so you said you like your sport. Which are your teams?
AFL, Australian football, is my sport.
Did you ever play it?
I did, yeah. And St Kilda is my team, the Saints.
Yeah.
And I live, breathe, and die my team. I go every week. I go to training. I love the history of my club,
mm-hmm.
of which has not been a lot of success. Let me just put that on
the
table.
What is the history of your club, to be in full disclosure?
One championship, 1966, 2 years before I was born. I've been to every final, grand final. Post that, and we've lost. I've been to 1, 2, 3, 4 grand finals, one of which was a draw, 3 losses. So I'm still holding out.
So when you say the grand final, you're just for the lexicon of us dumb Americans, would you say, is that the Super Bowl?
That's the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you've at least seen your team in four such contests.
I have.
But no wins in those contests.
No wins.
0-3-1.
We've led every one of them at some stage.
Oh, God, Lord.
Yeah, so I did get an appetizer. I got like at least a tiny taste.
So then let me ask you this question, Eric, because we've had this conversation on this program multiple times, and I'm thrilled that Eric Banner is going to give us this. The conversation we have is, would you rather your team?
Whatever the B option is, it's my team.
Okay, so hold on. Would you rather have your team in the grand final get blown out or have a close one and you lose in the end? Knowing you lose in the end, would you rather it be a blowout or at least you had your chance in the game? Which would you prefer?
Having
you
experienced both in the flesh.
Yes.
I'd rather the close one, Rich.
You and I are the same.
Yeah.
That man over there is a total lunatic.
You want to just be...
Knowing the result. Knowing that we're going to lose. Boom. Headshot. End it quick. I don't want to be teased all the way to the end.
I know where you're coming
knowing
from.
Knowing that you lose.
I know where you're coming from. It's also harder with the opposition supporters if you're close, because then you've been combative for the last four quarters, 2.5 hours.
Yes.
Yeah. So it is a bit exposing.
But hold on a minute before you, because I see you have swayed the witness somewhat. I'd rather to have loved and lost than not at all.
Yeah. Right? So how do you think I felt when I saw my team draw in a grand final?
Oh.
Which in those days, the rule was you come back 7 days later and play the game again.
Wow.
This is like a special brand of torture only available to us Australians.
And then you lost?
And then we got blown away the following week.
Oh, that's even
so
worse.
Have they changed such rules?
Yeah, now they're going to play. It hasn't happened since, but if it happens again, they will play extra time.
Yeah, 15 minutes on the day of, right?
On the day of.
Yes, okay.
Wait a week and then you got blown out. Oh.
What?
Yeah, it's still in my body. It's still in my body.
I don't blame you.
Yeah.
That'll leave an emotional scar.
Yeah.
So you're the perfect person to ask this question when you say you've had both in the same game.
Yeah. So we came from behind in the draw. We were coming over the top of the team. We were running them down, and they were out. They were dead on their legs.
Yes.
And we were coming home with a wet sail, and we ran out of time, and it was a draw.
So you're saying you would have won if there was
100%.
Extra time?
Give me one extra minute. We came back the following week and we just got blown away.
That's not fair.
And it was just devastating. Oh, it was devastating.
What an answer to our question. We didn't see that one possible or coming. So you would now say for sure you'd want to be put out of your misery immediately.
Just, boom, immediately.
If you have to wait a week later.
A whole week? What are we doing?
I have a saying,
just lost early.
I have a saying for my team, which is it's never relaxing. It's just never relaxing. So even the wins are like close. It is rarely you go to the game and we're like 5 or 6 goals up and you can just chill in the last quarter.
You're never in a rocking chair?
In the rocking chair. It's just never relaxing. So I know what you're saying. Yeah. I do understand the theory. Sometimes a large loss, you can kind of relax in the last quarter. You can kind of let it go.
Yeah, but...
Again, the whole idea is knowing the result.
Yeah, but obviously, you never know the result, is what I'm saying.
But the whole point is, if you know the result going in, let's end it.
No thanks.
Get me out of here.
I'd rather have a feeling alive that you have a chance,
and then die. It's like,
oh, stop. Oh gosh. So I feel like, you know, your team and mine is the New York Jets.
Okay.
They've had one championship. It was basically when I was 3 months old, I think, or something like 6 months
count.
Old. Right. And then nothing since. Zero.
I've been
but
trying
we've
to
never
find...
been to the Super Bowl since then. Not once.
Okay. What about I always try and find like a kinship team you know, in every code so that I can kind of like have the same torturous experience no matter what sport I'm watching. So is it not the Buffalo Bills for me? Is it the Bills?
I mean, our coordinator producer right now, Mike Hoskins, is a diehard Bills fan. Mike, do you wanna say I could pass it along? Would you say Bills would be similar to what Eric is saying? Somewhat. Yeah, well, they've been to 4 Super Bowls in a row and they lost them all. Does that?
That's close.
Yeah,
I think it is the Bills for me.
They've never won a Super Bowl, and they've been a four, and they lost them all.
Hockey, it's got to be the Leafs.
Well, they just lost another
game seven
heartbreaker.
There we go. It's the Leafs for
in
me.
Overtime.
Basketball.
In overtime.
Who have I got? Overtime. Who am I taking?
His Clippers.
but the thing is, the Clippers have never gotten to a championship. The Clippers have never even gotten close to a championship.
Oh, they're definitely my team. What else? What other sport?
I don't know if I'm going to bring that on.
Baseball would be
the Rangers.
Well, they finally won.
I know they finally won.
Before that, they won.
The Guardians, former Indians, now Guardians.
Yeah. Guardians. It used to be the Cubs.
Okay.
Yeah.
They won recently.
You take the Cubs. Take the Cubs because Wrigley Field's a beautiful place to go to see a baseball game if you're ever in Chicago.
It's character building. I've got friends and I got a brother who won a championship a couple of years ago. My father, landed on a boat from Croatia to Australia and picked a team that has since won 13 championships. I didn't follow his footsteps like an idiot. I'm like,
what? Why
could
not?
I not just have listened to my father?
Why didn't you?
Well, my uncle got me. My St. Kilda uncle got me. Oh. My uncle Klaus. Mm. God damn him. Should never have listened to that guy.
Uncle Klaus. Oh, man. Eric, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for stopping by here on your press tour. Hopefully it's not doing too much press, but you're a pleasure to be around right here. Again, the Force of Nature, the Dry 2, available in theaters and everywhere you rent movies this coming Friday. Thanks for coming here, Eric.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, Eric Bana here on the Rich Eisen Show. The Roastmaster General is about to zoom in. Jeffrey Ross coming up next. Hey, folks, it's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep because if I don't have one, I'm just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Back here on the Roku channel, by the way, on the Roku portal, the Netflix app. Hit it. And watch The Groat, the greatest roast of all time.
Do it right now.
As produced by the Roastmaster General himself, Roast J. Simpson, joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show. Jeffrey Ross, Roast J. Simpson. You did it. You pulled it off, Jeff. You nailed it.
I literally pulled it off.
Yes, you literally pulled it off. Literally, look at that. Look at that picture. Come on.
You know, I do need to mention my Heisman stance. Normally, I have pretty good flexibility, and I can really bend into the knee like yoga style.
Okay.
But the costume, the magnets would have come off, and it would have fallen off. So that's why you didn't get the full Heisman knee bend.
Oh, so it was a magnet. It wasn't a Velcro situation. It was a magnet situation.
No, they do it with magnets. Shout out Roger Forker, my stylist, for designing this incredible costume.
And so, where is the? It's not a real jersey? It doesn't exist? Like you can't hang it and put it on the wall or something like that?
I had a real jersey made and then they carefully cut it in half and add magnets to it to
we got to get that.
We need that in here.
Yeah, does it exist? Can we get that? We can hang it here.
Oh, you really? You would do that? you'll do that, I'm going to get it.
Yeah, get it. Let's do it.
Or, I'll get it. I had three made. I had three made. Here's what my options, just so you know.
Yes.
And
what are they?
Roast J. Simpson, which I used. That was fun.
Yeah.
The real killer I had, I didn't use. I thought that would be a good new nickname for me. But and then this one's the one, and I don't know why I didn't do it. It just felt like a joke on a joke, but
yes.
The juice spelled J-E-W-C.
Instead of Roast J. Simpson, Jeffrey Ross, instead of that?
Yeah.
Juice.
Yeah. The juice is loose.
Oh, that was good.
The Roast Master General, yes, Jeffrey Ross, is here the night after putting off the greatest roast of all time. And it was, Jeff. I know you've had a bunch of them, and I've seen a bunch of them. My God, was that A++++. I'm leaving off a plus. Congratulations.
I saw you laughing so hard. I saw you and Susie cracking up. I really, really had fun. And thank you for being a part of it, Rich.
Brother, I thank you for having me part of it and being the guy to lead it all off. My God, that was that's a career highlight for me, man. So a few questions for you. The one thing people are wondering about today, was Brady really pissed about you making a crack towards a massage joke?
Come on.
No?
Come on.
No?
No way. No way.
Because he came up, he said, knock that S off, Jeff.
He's having fun.
Okay, good. Fantastic.
Fun, you know, it's like, that's his dad, you know? That's like, Robert Kraft is like a father figure to him, you know? He was just showing his love for Robert Kraft, and Robert Kraft loved it. We had a great talk afterwards, and he was so happy that I gave him a shout out and a salute. It was beautiful.
It was. And what, so when did this come together? Like, because a lot of folks are wondering why Brady would subject himself, you know, or sit for this. What's the genesis of this, Jeffrey?
Well, there's a couple things. He loves the roast. He's a student of the roast.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that, you know, like if you love the roast, you know, everyone wants to be the center of attention, even when there's a target on their back. And in this case, it's all about him for 3 hours. And it was something I asked of him. You know, I asked him after he won the last Super Bowl. I hit him up. I knew he was a roast fan. And you know, then he was into it right away, and then we made a deal, and then he unretired, and I held it back till he retired again, and then we held it again till the Netflix is a joke festival so that all the comics would be in town. And I think it was worth the wait because he was loose and fun, and man, I feel like we won an election or something. Like, I can't believe it. We got through this 3-year campaign to get Tom Brady in the hot seat.
And it's not just that. The people that came back, you know, for him, from Belichick to Gronk and Edelman, and then to have Kraft there also, and some of his former teammates and the comedians you got together, to get Ron Burgundy introducing Bill Belichick was genius. That was fantastic. I didn't see that one coming. I did not see that one coming.
I don't think Tom did either.
See, he didn't know, right? You kept him in the dark on everything, pretty much?
I kept him in the dark on a lot of the surprises, and he didn't hear anybody's jokes. And even though he was a producer on the show, shout out to Tom's company and Casey Patterson's company and Netflix. Like, it was all hands on deck for this one. And Tom has a great team around him, and he abided by the rules of the roast, which was basically anything goes, and surprised me. And I got to give the guy credit, man. He really did it.
Kevin Hart was fantastic too, brother. Oh my God. Was he great.
To make a 3-hour show fun, I mean, what an achievement. He's a great, great comedian.
Oh my God. And just the way that he... Because you got it right. Like, you got to clear the decks for everyone else. When you're first up, you got to set the tone and then clear the decks and basically show everybody in the room that anything goes. Although I do think it did dawn upon Tom during Kevin Hart's opening, like, oh my gosh, there's two more hours of this to come. You might not have seen his face because you were in your roast Jay Simpson outfit in the back getting ready for your huge entrance. But man, yeah, Brady looked that way, Jeff.
I was able to peek at the monitors from backstage, and I saw what was happening. And the advice I gave Tom ahead of time was, if you're having fun, everyone will have fun. And I think a couple of jokes might have stung out of the gate, but once he realized that he was in for it, and it's all for love. You know, we only roast the ones we love. You know that, Rich?
Yes, sir.
That's my motto and my mission. I think he was down for it, and I think he earned his rebuttal. And by the way, I made a prediction last week that he would have the best set, that he would win his own roast, and I was so blown away by his rebuttal at the end. 3 hours in, man, not a lot of guys would hold up under that pressure of an arena, following all those arena acts and then murdering his rebuttal.
When he told Belichick about the ring, his favorite ring, it wasn't the next one, it was the ring camera that caught him coming out of that that girl's house or his girlfriend's house or something like that. Oh my God. That one killed me. It slayed me, man.
The helmets are off, man. These guys are, you know, Tom Brady's been talking smack since he's in high, you know, a kid playing football on the field, off the field, locker rooms. Yeah. Like, it kind of comes to natural to the players in general. I've roasted other, you know, athletes before, but football players really have a knack for smack talk. And on top of that, Brady's always been, it seems like, as I get to know him, you know, always an underdog. Even as a winner, people underestimate him. They say he's not the best. He's not this. He's not going to come back. He's not going to unretire. He's not going to win another Super Bowl. He's going to move to Florida. He's not going to win. Then he wins. I feel like him especially knows how to take a joke. He has thick skin, and we're all sensitive, and maybe, you know, he's a human being, but the way he took those hits last night, man, that's for the ages right there.
I can't say some of these jokes, as you know, but I think the one who took the worst hit last night might be Nikki Glaser's boyfriend. That may be.
That lottery ticket
the
joke.
Lottery ticket. Yeah.
And Tony Hinchcliffe, man, he came out from the audience, right? He was sitting next to Dana White, and his set might have that might have been my favorite of the night too, Jeffrey. That was something.
I mean, Tony was the last time we did these roasts. Tony was a writer. Tony is one of my favorite people, and it gave me such joy and such pride to see him step up like that and work the room in such a dynamic way and earn his spot. I mean, he literally took his spot on the dais.
He was great. Unbelievable. And by the way, Belichick staying on the dais too, like sitting down. That was awesome. That was genius.
Whereas Peyton, a lot of people won't stay.
Yeah.
They figure they're going to get roasted someday, so let me save it. But Coach Belichick, I got to give him credit. And I gave him my theme music. I normally come out to the Imperial March. Star Wars, the Darth Vader theme. But my producer, Casey's like, if you're the Hellfire entrance, can Coach Belichick, can he come out to the Darth Vader music? And it was perfect.
I love it. All right, so before I let you go on the rest of your day, this is the way it is in sports, too. What's next? What do you think? What's the future?
I guess I'm gonna have to make some tour dates now. I'm gonna take a banana for the ride. I got some dates coming up in North Carolina, South Carolina.
Excellent.
I got a show in LA this week, but it's sold out. Kevin plugged it a couple times.
Is it really in the Hollywood Cemetery? He said that. Like he said,
yeah.
Is that really where it is?
Yeah, pretty great, right?
People thought that was a joke at first.
I know. He's like, no, that's for real.
Yeah.
And then
actually, there's going to be more stars at that than there were at the roast. Even though there were so many stars at the roast.
And then what's next for the roast? What do you got?
I just woke up. I did it last night. What the hell are you talking about? What are you kidding me? Give me a day. The greatest roast of all time. What's next?
It was. By the way, it really was, man.
Tom Brady wins his 7th Super Bowl ring. Do you call him the next morning and go, how are your plans?
We actually do that. Yes, we do that. That actually happens in sports. We really do. What do you think about a repeat? No question that's a question. Jeff?
How hard these are? I feel like I helped produce the Super Bowl halftime show and performed in it on the same day. It was like heavy lifting. If you think this is easy, getting these egos all into one room at the same time with all this, like, it was a lot, man. I feel like I feel so good about it.
You should.
I needed to laugh like that. I hadn't laughed like that in a long time. Like, yeah. I feel like it's like a vaccine for your brain. It's like, it's medicinal. I was laughing so hard.
Yeah, Susie and I said that on the way home. We were like, that was brilliant. That was great. You know, we both love you dearly, and we root for you, and you crushed it, and your team crushed it, and the night was incredible, and Netflix should be so over the moon. It was trending all over the place. It was as hilarious as you wanted it to be, and I know you really wanted it to be. You nailed it, man. Congrats. You stuck it.
Thank you, Richie. Thank you, buddy. I love you for saying that. You're a real pal, and you were so supportive. And when we first started talking about this, you jumped in and said, great idea. If there's anything I can do, I want to be there. You even sent me a picture of your draft suit, and you were like, all right, I'm coming in suited and booted.
I'm suited and booted. You're going to give me that spot? I'm coming.
I wanted you to have the king's throne and do the Howard Cosell opening. I gave you everything but a yellow Wide World of Sports jacket.
Next time, Jeffrey. You be well.
Love it.
You be well. Love you, pal.
Love you, Rich. Bye, everybody.
See you, Jeff.
The Roast Master General, Roast J. Simpson, a.k.a. The Juice.
The Juice. I think someone, Jew Bledsoe.
Brady called him Jew Bledsoe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God. That's what Brady called him. Yeah. Jew Bledsoe.
Jew Bledsoe.
That had Susie and I doubled over. What a show. Thanks to the Roast Master General, Eric Bana, Monty Austin-Fort, and Brian Windhorst. We're going to have a fun Tuesday show as well. We'll set up that shop in a matter of moments. What a great roast edition of the Rich Eisen Show, now in the books.
Welcome to Talkville, the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast. Guest star Sarah Carter as Alicia Baker.
Although I didn't really work with her a lot. But Tom did, and they had some real big smoochy scenes.
Yeah. Should we talk about that?
Could there be any more sex? What was a 3-page makeout scene that just kept going? Good Lord. We get it. They have chemistry.
Jump in now or catch up on any of the past seasons of Talkville on YouTube or wherever you listen.